Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll be starting a new series this morning. Entitled, When God Spoke. When God Spoke. Hebrews 1. If she puts it up, we're going to look at it. If not, I'll read it to you, but I'm going to read it to you in the King James, and then I'll read it to you the second time in the NIV, because there's a distinct difference that I want to point out that means a whole lot, and we'll touch on that farther down in the message. But the book of Hebrews, if you understand, or you need to understand, was written to the Masonic Jews. It was written to the Jewish people who believed that Christ was the Messiah. And if you were to go today and speak to a Masonic Jew, we had the opportunity, those of us that went to Israel, to hear a Masonic Jew that Dale is personal friends with, him and his wife, speak to us. But if you were to go to talk to them, they would tell you that the first four verses of Hebrews, and they don't recognize it as four verses, by the way. We're the ones that added verses. They recognize it as one sentence. And in the King James, the first four verses are one sentence. And it has big meaning, because what it meant to the Masonic Jews, to those Jews when this were written, that were at that point in time followers of Christ and believed that he was the Messiah. And it said, and I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 1 of the KJV. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir to all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the mighty of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. Wow. Said he, at any time thou art my son. No, I'm sorry. Said much better than the angels, as he, I'm going to put my glasses on. Let's start at verse 4 again. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now I want to look at it in the NIV, and you'll notice that as you look at it in the NIV, it's not one sentence. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors. That makes me understand that it was written to the Jewish people and written by a Jew. He said, through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he has spoke to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This particular passage, the reason that it really means so much to the Jewish people and to those that were Masonic Jews, is that it ties Christ to God. And it has significance to them and to scholars as being one sentence because of that reason. The Word of God and it shows the superiority of Christ versus angels and even the prophets and others, which was a really big deal to the Jewish religion. You see, this speaks of the deity of Christ, and he is God. And that was a big deal to Jewish people, because if you go today and speak to a real stout Jew, they'll tell you that Christ is an illegitimate son of a carpenter that was born in Nazareth. My brother's got a friend that if you try to mention Christ to him, he'll go off on you. I can't believe you all followed that bastard child. And that's what they believe. And this verse that was written in the last days, as they believed way back then, tells them that Christ is God in the flesh and more powerful than the angels, and that God spoke. And that's where we're going with this, you know, with this series, is when God spoke. And that will transcend at some point in time in the next few weeks to when God speaks. To when God speaks. And I hope it's educational to you. I hope it's informative, somewhat intriguing to go and look at when God spoke. And in the weeks to come, I want it to be life-changing. I want it to change the culture of our church and even to change your life culture and to change our vision. Because when God spoke, it makes a big difference if you look at what the application is and the relevance to our lives in this day and age. And this message, though, will be foundational to the entire series, and we'll go back and touch on it from time to time in the weeks to come. But today, I want to ask you a question. And I do it often at the beginning of a message or at the beginning of a series. Number one, I want to get your attention because it involves you, obviously. When I ask you a question, it makes you. And the second thing is it stimulates thought. What do you believe about the subject matter? And if you believe something different, are you at least willing to have an open mind to what the Word of God says versus what you may have been taught, or to what the pastor's conviction is versus what your conviction is? Not trying to change you, just give you a different thought process. So I ask you this question: does God speak directly to man today? Does God speak directly to man today? We notice in the passage that we read, it says, in times past, God spoke to our forefathers and our ancestors. And so some will say, and you know, first let's clarify a little bit. We hear all kinds of stuff from all kinds of people. Good people, from people we trust, from pastors and women that are in the ministry. And last week we had a lady we attended church, got to with our daughter for the first time ever there, and we was there on a Sunday, so we got to go to church. And the lady that was a lady there at the end of the service come up to us, and she said, "God told me. God told me." She made that direct statement. And comes from a great study. She's pastoring the Methodist church there, which we could discuss that from now till has ice, but neither here nor there. She made that statement to me. She wanted to talk to me. She knew I pastored the church here, and she listened to us online from time to time and talks about our website every time Mandy speaks to me about it. But anyhow, she came and she said, "And God told me." And others will say, you'll hear people say all the time, I heard Kelly even say it this morning, you know, from here, God showed me, or God speaks to me. And you'll have folks say, "Well, God showed me in a dream." And you'll have other folks that'll say, "I had a vision from God." They'll make that statement. And or you'll have someone say, and you've heard me say it maybe before, God revealed to me. Some will even produce pictures, and you've seen it on the internet and different places, and they'll show a cloud that they've taken a picture of and say, I see God's face in a picture. Or God spoke to me in the formation of the rock because I could see God in that rock. I even seen one time where they took a picture of a cupcake and floated it up and said, can you see God in the cupcake? It happens. I mean, you know, we do laugh about it, and you name it, and you've seen and heard them say, I see God in that. And you even have these guys that say, God revealed to me the date, the time, the end of time, and the world's going to come to end. It just a few years ago, there was a guy in Florida, and I'm not going, you may trust him and still love him to death. But and you can just go on and on and on about these people that say that God revealed to me. So what is the truth about all of this? What's the Bible have to say about it? And how in the world is something like that something that I can apply to my life as a follower of Jesus? Well, that's where we want to go with all this. You say, but by the way, preacher, you just read that God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And yes, it does, and we just read it, but let's dissect that just a little bit at what that verse really said, because it really has a big implication on the subject matter. Does God speak directly to man today? Does God speak directly to man today? As early as Genesis chapter 2, we see God speaking to man. Anybody know what he said, the very first thing he said? Do not eat of the tree of life. That was God's first words to Adam. Do not eat. Anybody know what the second thing God said to Adam? It's not good for man to live alone. Now, we could debate that a long, long time, couldn't we? We'd still be in paradise, guys, without that issue, you know. Maybe. What would it be with a football game without... Not good for man to live alone. One of those we might want to argue with God about. You know, I'm just kidding. We see God in the beginning of time speaking directly to man, to Adam, and creating a relationship by that speaking back and forth and having man's well-being at heart. What God was doing. He wanted to have a relationship with us. He wanted us to have company. He wanted us not to create sin in our life, so he gave us a boundary. Don't eat of the tree of life. And so he's creating a relationship with man. We see that scripture that says God spoke to our ancestors in times past. We see it. We see God speaking, sending angels with a message. If you raised in church, you remember he spoke to Abraham at the point he was about, through an angel, he was about to kill Isaac, and God stopped him through an angel. We see God speaking through an angel, not only to Abraham, but to Jacob. We even find Jacob wrestling with God, the Bible says. Wrestling with God. Find that in Genesis. We see God speaking to Joseph early on in Genesis. How did he do that? Primary way he spoke to Joseph. In dreams. That somebody else would have a dream and Joseph would interpret the dream with his own dream. God had spoke to him through dreams and visions. Early on in Genesis. we see, we even see God speaking to Balaam, how? Through a donkey. He's thrashing this donkey because the thing, it won't do what he wants it to do. And the donkey sees the angel of the Lord, and Balaam don't see it. And the donkey speaks to Balaam. Have I not been your donkey for so long? You know, hey, quit hitting on me, you know. So we see God speaking to man in various ways, many times, in many different places. We even see God speaking audibly to Moses. We see God speaking to audibly to Moses. What did he say to Moses? He told him, he said, draw near. And yet the place you're standing, take your shoes off, because this is holy ground. God speaking to man. Various ways, many times. We even see God. We think touching an iPad and moving stuff is a big deal. Hey, God didn't even have to touch it to write on an etch-a-sketch. God had an etch-a-sketch long before man did. He wrote on tablets of stone without even touching them. How'd he do that? He wrote the Ten Commandments, give them to Moses. Moses wasn't, you know, they broke them and he had to write them again. God speaking to man early on. We see God even speaking to a persecutor of the early church, to someone that all would have thought, there's no way that God could save a person like that. He even killed and was part of the party that stoned one of the first deacons of the church. Why would God speak to him? And yet we see God directly and audibly speaking to Saul of Tarsus. And then not just speaking to him, but saving him at that point in time and changing his name to the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books. Some believe the book of Hebrews Paul wrote, possibly 14 books in the New Testament, a persecutor of the church and saving him. So don't ever give up on your loved one. God spoke audibly to Paul. Spoke. And so we have all these different accounts, and I could give you hundreds more of from Old Testament, even into the New Testament, that we see with the Apostle Paul throughout the Bible of many times and in various ways. We even have in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible makes a statement, and Paul makes this statement. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if you research the wording from the English back to the original Hebrew, it says God breathed or spoke every word that is written in this Bible from when Moses wrote the original books until the last verse in the book of Revelation. God spoke it to men, and it literally means, got a dead spot. It literally means that they wrote it down as God spoke it to them. It's a God-breathed book from Genesis to Revelation. God spoke. So I ask, let's go back to the question. Does God speak directly to man today? And I want to clarify with a little more intensity. The question is not, can God speak directly to man today? But the question is, does God speak directly to man today? Does he speak, and in that speak? What do we mean by speak? Does he audibly speak to man today? Does he speak to man today in dreams and visions? And does he give a new revelation? If you look at the passage of Scripture that we looked at, it says, in the past, that's pretty direct, In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these days, these last days, even then, they thought Christ was coming back right then. They didn't think Christ was going to be 2,000 years before he returned. They was thinking this is the last days. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Therein is where we believe that Christ is God in the flesh. He's the deity of God. He is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's verses in Colossians that I could give you to supplement to prove that this theology that the Bible teaches. But he's the exact representation, sustaining all things by the powerful word. After he had provided what? Purification for our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So, once you read that and you look at it, what do we do with the likes of good men and women, of people with what we believe sound education, great people that have done great things? And I'll go back to 1987 and use someone that we may not be familiar with, so I'm not maybe bashing someone today that you have faith in. But what do we do with the likes of an Oral Roberts, who probably has a sustaining ministry? I mean, the school is still there, the university. But what do you do with the likes of someone that says, stands on national television in front of millions of people and say, God spoke to me and said, if I don't raise $8 million by March, he's going to take my life. That's documented. He said that in 1987. March came, God didn't take his life, he hadn't raised $8 million, and he moved it out a month, and he moved it another month, and he moved it another month, and he moved it another month. By January of 1988, he had raised $9.1 million, and God didn't need to take his life. What do you do with that? God spoke to me. At another point in time in his life, he made the statement that he had seen a 900-foot Jesus in a vision, in a dream. And in that vision, in that dream, God told him to build the medical center that still stands today. Multi-million dollar facility. God spoke to me. What do we do with great men and great women that makes that a claim? What do we do with those that have great accomplishments? What do we do with the likes of these kinds of statements that are still prevalent, as the lady said to us last week, God told me. God told me. Those that say, maybe even, I have the gift. A word of knowledge. That's a new slang today. I have the gift of the word of knowledge. The claim that God gave me this word to give to you. And told me to have you maybe touch your television set and I'll heal you. Or come forward from the crowd and let me lay hands on you and touch you and God will heal you. What do we do with that? What do you do with when you question these accounts of God speaking to people and they making that a claim that you're labeled satanic opposition if you question that statement? What do you do with those when they say, if you question that you lack knowledge or you lack faith and vision, and you're of a less spiritual realm than I am, and you create a spirit of defeat. What do you do with that? Where's the truth in all of that? That these people are above reproach that make those claims. Let me tell you right up front, there is no direct verse in the Word of Scripture that answers the question directly. Does God speak directly to man today? But there is Scripture, the one that we just read, that speaks of the finality of the Scripture that I hold in my hand. It's a finished book. It is the written Word. So does God speak directly to man today? My conviction is no, He does not. And I'll clarify that because you hear us say, well, God told me or God spoke to me. But no, if we are speaking in terms of God audibly speaks, or if God has a physical appearance as in Moses' day, or if God has an angel or a prophet come and appear, or I'm going to have a direct vision or a dream that is obvious, and I don't make that, you know, that statement without Scripture to back it up and without reasonable theology to prove when I say, no, I don't believe He does. But more important is how relevant it is to you today. And you might even ask, well, why are we even spending time on a series or a message discussing the matter? Because I believe it's relevant. Because we tell you all the time you need to have a relationship with God. We tell you continually that God, if you listen, you can hear Him. We tell you continually that we want you to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit of God and spend time with God and enjoy what we call personal relationship. It's more than corporate relationship at church. So, but you're saying, but preacher, you just said God doesn't speak audibly and God doesn't come in dreams and God doesn't have a prophet or someone come and show Himself to me. Well, let's look at the Scripture, first of all, that we just read. And it says, in the past, He's saying, used to be, God spoke. And I think that's pretty clear. It's past tense. There's not much room for debate how that God in these last days, He has now, you know, how does He speak to us today? Through His Son. What's the Bible say about Jesus and His Son in John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If God speaks to you today, He's going to speak to you through His Word or someone that's presenting His Word through the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Word. And I think that's pretty clear. And then how it is relevant and how it is important that all four verses are one sentence and are tying together that statement is this one true revelation is the foundation of all our Christianity, because Jesus is the way and the only way. And the folks that make the claims that God spoke to me today are saying, I have a new revelation, I have an additional revelation, and there's nothing in the Scripture to go and say that anything other than this is finished. It's a finished work of God. And when it comes to the likes of Muhammad and Buddha and others that have said, God, give me a new revelation, I have the Quran, or Joseph Smith who says, I have the Book of Mormon, they are adding to and putting themselves on a higher plane by saying, God spoke to me. And I'm sorry, but it's heresy according to what the Bible says. It's heresy. And he says that I am the heir of all things, whom he made the universe. He's talking about Jesus there. He's saying Jesus is God. So it compares in that very first sentence, those four verses of Scripture, that Jesus Christ is the God of the universe. And that you say, well, I see. And he says that it's by the power of his word, the written word of God. And by himself, what did he do? He purged our sins. It puts to bed the debate, well, I need to do this, and I need to follow the Book of Mormon, or I need to follow what they teach through the Quran, or I need to follow what some other religion teaches. Jesus stated in the Word, God spoke to us today and says that He is God, and He's the one that purged our sins in one sentence in the first four verses. First four verses. It makes it so clear. And then to show that it was finished, what does it say he done? He sat down on the right hand of God. There was nothing else to do. Christ himself even made the statement on the cross, what? The last thing he said, it is finished. It's done. There is no other revelation. There is no need for any more scripture. There is nothing else to do. I've done it all. And when he arose from the grave, he proved that he was God incarnate in the flesh with victory over death and hell in the grave. He sat down. It implies a finished work. And as we look at when God spoke, we realize Christ and God's word, that it was the final piece, that God's finished plan had come to place, and that there was no need, as I said before, for Muhammad and all this addition of Buddha and added revelations and what Joseph Smith said back in the 50s or 60s. And we with all the acclaim, with all that we see, God spoke to me by different people in different times, and even to this day, God spoke to me. What we see most of the time is self-exaltation, putting themselves on a higher plane above the Son. That's why it's so relevant in today's language that we're careful about how we present. God spoke to me. Because if we're not careful, we move past what is in Hebrews 1:1-4 and say, I'm on the same plane as Jesus Christ and His Word, and the Bible says you're not on the same plane, that it's a finished work. He sat down on the right hand of God today, and He's not speaking to you in the same act, in the same part of, or the same way that He spoke to our ancestors who wrote the Bible, that He spoke to the prophets who wrote Isaiah and Jeremiah, and He's not speaking to you on the same plane. God is not speaking to you audibly. God is not speaking to you in dreams and visions. And God speaks to you today through His Word. Michael made a statement last night when we was talking about this. We was having a cup of coffee. And he said, you know, I heard something the other day, and it said, if you want to hear God audibly speak to you today, then you need to read His Word out loud. Because that's how God speaks to you today, is through His Word. And the fact that you say, well, that just blows apart everything I've always thought and all that I ever believed, and I know that God speaks to me, but what we've got to be careful is today is we see a casual attitude. of God speaks to man face to face, and we're confronted with, I have a new revelation, or God give me something different or contrary. Let me tell you something. If anyone stands and says, God speaks to me, or God told me, and it's contrary to this book, it's not from God. It's not. And we've got to be so careful. And it really, some of these people, I heard a guy not too long ago, he was right in the middle of it, and he said, wait a minute, God, give me the rest of it. Like God was speaking to him while he's standing on national television. And he went on to say, well, hold on just a minute, and I'll come back to you, God. It doesn't even show what you see out of people of God in the Bible. When Moses came face to face, he said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And you see people falling flat on their face when they come in the presence of God and scared to death in fear. It was to such a place that only one person got to enter in, to where God was in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. It's different than what religion makes it out to be today, that God speaks to me. And you say, well, but preacher, it's really just, it's a slang, it's a language. Yes, it is, and I understand what most of them are saying. But there are those that make a mockery and put themselves on a plane of exalting by saying, God spoke to me. And they want you to feel inferior because they get to talk to God and you don't. And I'm here to tell you that the veil was torn, and everyone in this room has the right and the opportunity to speak to God today. And everyone in this room has the opportunity to hear God speak. But it's not in dreams and visions, and it's not in an audible voice, and it's not through a prophet or an angel. It's through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. And we'll touch on that more as to how God does speak to you through the Holy Spirit. But please don't leave here thinking God doesn't speak to me. And don't leave here thinking that I'm trying to tear down. But before we go into the series on God, when God spoke and when God speaks, we have to understand there are boundaries as to who God speaks to and how He speaks to them. Because I'm here to tell you John 4:4, or John 6:4 maybe, or 6:44. I know it's there somewhere. It's in the book of John. I'll just get it covered. I know it's in John 6, and I want to say it's 4 or verse 44. Christ said, there's none comes unto the Father except the Spirit draw them. You don't get saved without God speaking to you, because it's the Holy Spirit of God that draws you to salvation. And if you're sitting here this morning and there's a tug on your heart, there's the thing that makes you raise your hand during an invitation and say, I have need of a Savior. I have a desire not to spend eternity in hell. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you, and that's how God speaks to you about your need of salvation. It's not your conscience. It's not a guilt factor. It's not just fear. It's the Spirit of God that speaks through the Holy Spirit and the Word. As you understand the Word, it says God draws you. And the Holy Spirit is still alive and well. He's not Casper the ghost. He still speaks to His children. He still directs. He still leads and guides. And how God speaks to man today is through the Spirit of God and His Word. And it's very important that you understand that there is no new revelation. And there's no one that's on a higher plane. This pastor or anyone else has any more opportunity or ability to hear God speak than you do. And I agree. If you want to hear God's audible voice, start reading His Word out loud. Because that's God speaking to you. And then you hear what goes along with when you read it. This conviction. This still, small voice that says, that's you. I'm speaking to you. That's not written for someone else. It's you that are going to go to hell when you die. It's you that owe a penalty for your sin. It's you that if you pay that penalty, you're going to spend eternity in hell. It's you that I placed your sins on my Son, and He died for you. And He rose victorious out of the death and hell and the grave for you. That's God speaking to you through His Word. That's God drawing you. That's God that speaks to the Christian, a child this morning of God. You're a follower. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You asked Jesus to come into your heart. And this morning you sit here and God speaks to you and everybody in this room on a different subject matter. That's not this preacher. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you that says, that's your fault. That's your sin that you need to confess. That's where you have gotten farther away from me instead of closer to me. That's you that hasn't blowed the dust off your Bible and listened to me in months and months and months. There's God speaking to you. That's your sin that you haven't confessed. That's how God's speaking to you today, in this room, at this moment, right now. And everybody in this room, if you'll be the least bit honest, you received something from God in this service. Maybe it was through a song. Maybe it was through the written word as she read it. Maybe it was through the video. Maybe it was through the preaching. But I know God speaks today through the power of His Word and the Holy Spirit, different than He did in times past. Why? Because the writer of the book of Hebrews said so. Let's stand.